This is an unintended series, and today we'll be finishing it. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul begins in verse 3, and for 14 verses. I'm doing bad math this morning. Give me a moment till my mind catches up here. For 11 verses, Paul has one sentence where he shares with us what are the tremendous blessings of our knowing Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to look at the last of those blessings. And if you would stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to pray the Holy Spirit will speak to us through the preached Word. I wanted to read verse 3 again just to emphasize what this is all about. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You may not have been aware of it, but when you begin to feel the Spirit like you were feeling this morning, amen, you were just kind of being pulled up into a heavenly place. Amen, that's what was happening. One is the blessing, and it's really a twofold blessing. What is the blessing this morning that we're going to look at? Verse 13, "And whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Listen. "And whom also after that you believed." You believed, and then this happened to you. "After you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." You got saved, you got born again, and when that happened, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, he tells us something else about that Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's all real estate talk. I might need to get one of our realtors to explain it to us this morning. The earnest until the redemption of the purchased possession. I'm going to explain now in case I don't. The purchased possession is both me and what God's going to give me. Amen. The purchased possession is both me and you and what God's going to get. And it's all, could you read the last part with me? It's all unto the praise of His glory. Spiritual blessings. This morning I just want to preach on sealed. Sealed. Father, help us this morning. Shut up our hearts and minds to the truth. Lord, accomplish eternal things. Jesus, may you be glorified through the preaching of the word. May you be exalted. Lord, I pray you remove every distraction. Lord, in the times in which we live, we need to hear the voice of God through your word, Lord. And I pray we'll leave here saying we've heard your voice. Now bless your people, Lord, through the preaching of the word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's been so long since I read this, I can't remember the country. I can't remember the guerrilla group or any of that, but I do remember the gist of the story. A group of Christians in that country were gathered and worshiping Jesus, and suddenly through every door and every window of the place, there burst in these guerrillas in military fatigues and with machine guns. And as they interrupted that service, they began to scream at the people to sit down. They began aiming, putting the gun barrels at different people's heads. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Surrounded the perimeter of the building. Lined, guerrillas lying there with their guns pointed at the folks in the pew. And then the leader, he gave this instruction. He said, "Now I want everybody here that's not truly a Christian, I want you to leave." And at first, you know, they were embarrassed. It was just a few. But pretty soon, more and more folks began to get up and they began to leave. And after a while, no one had moved for a little bit. And so the leader spoke again. He said, "Is there any more here that's not truly a Christian? If you're not truly a Christian, this is your chance to leave before we get down to business here." A couple more people got up and left. The folks remaining in the pew are weeping and crying. And the leader said, "I want to make sure, is everybody here a true Christian?" And they're weeping and crying, expecting what's coming next. Nobody moves. And he says, "All right then." He said, now you know who the true Christians are of your church. Go ahead and go back to worshiping God. And they left. Now, I want you to notice something. When those men came in with guns, they did not make some true Christians and make some not true Christians. That incident just revealed who the true Christians were and who the not true Christians were. Now, I want you to hear me across the building. I'm not speaking from theology or anything of that nature right now. But as pastor, I feel in my heart, in the troublesome times in which we live, there's going to be a winnowing, there's going to be a sifting of those who call themselves Christians. And only those who are true Christians are going to take the stand and remain firm in the principles and belief in this word. And we're going to see a falling away through this sifting period of those who are not truly Christians. If you're going to be holy, it's time to be holy. If you're going to be born again, it's time to be born again. If you're going to be unholy, that's going to be revealed. There's going to be a sifting in this anti-God, anti-Christ society in which we live. Now, I don't know how much you've thought about this. You may not be able to see it as you look around at work or you go to Walmart and look around or you look around this morning in this church. You may not be able to see it, but did you know that every person is marked? They're either marked with the mark of the enemy or they are marked with the mark of God. It's not going to happen. You say, well, in the end time, some folks are going to receive a mark of the beast. Be that as it may, I believe folks are already marked for what they are. Amen. And as certainly as there is a mark of the beast, did you know that there is a seal of the Spirit? This isn't something new to our thinking. It goes clear back in the Old Testament. Listen to this in Ezekiel. God's true people are marked. God's true people are sealed. Ezekiel chapter 9, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. I want to tell you a sign of those who have the mark. You may not be seeing it, but it's people who are not becoming a part of sin, reveling in sin, rejoicing. A good sign that somebody's got this mark, it's somebody who mourns over the sin that is around us. Look in Revelation chapter 9, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, judgment is coming, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. People are already marked. Did you know this was even true of Jesus as a human and a man walking this earth? John chapter 6, he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him, Jesus, the Son of Man, hath God the Father sealed. Now we're going to look in a minute that it's more than just a mark. But I want you to believe this morning that every person is already marked to whom they belong, of what crowd that they're in, the perishing, the not perishing, the hellbound, the heavenbound, the child of Satan, the child of God. Every person is already marked. Now it doesn't show up with ultra light like a stamp you get when you go to some event. And you want to go out and come back in, they'll stamp you and then they'll put your hand up under a special lighting and it shows up under a special lighting. That mark isn't like that. But I want you to know what it's going to boil down to in the time and the age in which we live. It's going to boil down. I heard this in my heart so strongly Wednesday night. It's coming to this. Whom do you belong to? To whom do you? Whose are you? Amen. The mark is already there and it's going to be revealed. Whose are you? Hallelujah. Do we have any here that belong to Jesus Christ? Amen. Really, whose are you? Who do you and I belong to? In other words, in the words of our text, it's going to come down to, do you have the seal of the Spirit? Let's talk about the seal. The seal tells us to whom we belong. Look in verse 13 again. You trusted. It happened when you heard the gospel of salvation, the word of truth. You trusted and you believed. And the moment you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Let's go back to that picture there. You see, a seal, this is an indication of it, but the seal was the signature in Bible's times. I mean, there was a time in our country when folks were illiterate. They couldn't write their name. They'd put an X. But in Bible times, to make something official, you didn't sign it like we did. You know, today you don't print it, you sign it. They didn't sign it. They sealed it. And here's how it works, and it could be anything. It could be a picture. It could be letters. It could be on just a sticker. It could be on a ring. But the person, let's take an official, he had an insignia ring. And on that ring was the mark that identified anything of his with him. That was his name. It was his signature. And the way they would do it, they would take wax or clay. And when they wanted to mark something, they would press in that insignia. They would press in that particular mark into the wax or clay. It might be a letter. They would seal the letter, put the clay or wax on, press in the insignia. It might be a sack that had their materials in it. They put the wax or clay, press in the insignia. It might be a treasure, a chest, and they would put the wax and clay, press in their insignia. Amen. We still have this in a sense. Usually today it's in the form of embossing. I remember when I used to do the PMA, minister certificates, ordination certificates, I had an embosser. You'd slide the paper between it, you'd squeeze it, and it would raise. Instead of pressing something in, it would raise the paper. I was talking to the couple I married yesterday and explained the marriage certificate, and I said, now this is an authorized, this is an official certificate, because notice it's got the seal on it. It was an embossed seal pressed into the material of that certificate. Amen. Did you see what Paul said? Amen. We've been marked when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ because we heard the gospel, when we trusted in Him. Amen. It's a mystery beyond anything I can explain today. All I know is the Bible said it happened. If you really got saved, hear me, if you really got saved, God took the Spirit and put His mark on you. He impressed it in your heart and mind. And I believe you got the mark of God. It's all over you. It's in your mind. It's in your heart. Amen. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Bible times, what did that seal do? First of all, it confirmed whose it was. Amen. A letter, a sack, a chest. If it had that man's seal on it that said, that belongs to me. If it was a letter, it said that letter came from me, and what's in it are my words. Amen. It's my words in that letter. It's from me. It's been sealed. Amen. What's inside this letter is from me, that you see the mark. Amen. Our lives are sealed. You know what the Spirit says in our lives? It says we are God's. Amen. Not, you know, belong to God. Amen. We're God's. He's put His seal on it. You know what it also says? Just like that seal that says what's on the inside is from me. With the seal of the Spirit says what's on the inside of our heart, it's from God. It's a work of God. It's the doing of God. Amen. As Paul said, it's the handwriting of God on our hearts. He sealed it, hallelujah, with the Spirit of God. It confirms whose it is. It's one thing for me to say I belong to Christ, but it's another thing for Christ to say, I belong to Him. A lot of folks can say, I'm a Christian, I belong to Him. But it's another thing when God takes His stamp and He puts the stamp on our lives and said, He belongs to me. He belongs to me. She belongs to me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not preaching fantasy. Paul said, when we get saved, He has sealed us to confirm that we belong to Him. Another thing a seal did, it confirmed that something was genuine. People could write a letter and say it came from this king. But if that seal wasn't there, that's a lying thing, a lying document. Amen. Because if it came from that king, if it was truly that king's words, it would have that king's seal upon it. That it's genuine. Amen. That it's genuine. Amen. It assured, when the person saw that seal, it assured them that what was inside was the real thing. It was truly the words of that person. It was truly the treasure of whomever put that seal on it. I want to tell you what the working of the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Spirit does. It lets people know that it's real. What's on the inside is real. The work of the Spirit, it might let other people know that what we have is real, but it serves an even more important purpose. When the seal of the Spirit comes upon our hearts, it lets us know that what we have is real. You can get saved. You can have your sins forgiven. You can be born again. It's not long until the enemy will whisper it wasn't real. You didn't get anything. It's not genuine. You say, wait a minute. Didn't the Spirit move on me when we were singing at Calvary? That was the Spirit's seal saying what you got is real. You really are born again. You really are saved. Your sins really are gone. You got the seal of the Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8 that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, I liked what we felt this morning, not just because we felt something, but if you could tell the Spirit was moving this morning, that was God giving you another indication what you have is real. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody shout glory. Not only to confirm whose it was, not only to confirm that it was genuine, but it was a command that that not be tampered with. If I was an official and I put my seal on that and gave instructions to Brother Mark to get that to Brother Steve, don't give it to him yet. You're wondering what's in there. You wonder what I have to say to Brother Steve. But you don't dare open that, because that seal says right there, you don't tamper with it, because only the person to whom it's intended has the authority to open that. Oh, come on, somebody. I said our lives are sealed. The devil would like to tamper with our minds. He'd like to tamper with our hearts. People would like to get in our heads. But I'm going to tell you, we got the seal of God. You know what that says to Satan? You know what that says to other folks? You don't tamper with them. I put my mark on. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. My sheep know my voice. I said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. We've been sealed. Don't tamper with us. Hallelujah. I know Satan's been trying to tamper with some of you. Amen. You need to remind Satan, I've been sealed. You don't tamper with me. Amen. It's not time to be intimidated and ran and listen to our enemy. It's time to look him in the eye and say, enemy of my soul, don't you see the seal? You don't tamper with me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Finicky as I am, we had a new container of orange juice this week, and it looked like somebody broke the seal. And so I screwed the lid off thinking, I ain't drinking any of this. Just came from the store. I'm not drinking this, but fortunately there was another seal underneath the cap. Oh, that seal let me know, no, it hadn't been tampered with. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I know we have our problems, and sometimes we think, well, the devil's got in. He's tempered. He's messed it all up for me. Oh, but if you take a little deeper look, on your heart is a seal. Glory to God. He hadn't been successful. He hadn't got through. How do I know it? I just felt the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. It's not that just God can mark those that are his, saying this one is mine. It's not just that others can see there is a child of God. It's that we who have born again can know that He has claimed us, that we are His. Thank God. I said, thank God. Amen. Amen. Praise His name. And not only do we have the seal, we're going to look at in a moment the earnest, but I want you to see here that we have an expression that comes from the real estate, which we're going to look at. Amen. Not so much today, but especially for many decades and around the turn of the last century. It was a real saying. In fact, I think they made a Southern gospel song out of it. But the saying was signed, sealed, and delivered. Signed, sealed, and delivered. A house was sold. Amen. The person that bought it was trying to get the legal deed when all the paperwork was done and the deed was legal and the purchase was final and signed by the seller. It was still in America in those days. It was required they took that signed deed and they put the wax on it and they put in the seal of that authorizing government official, and that letter deed sealed was handed over to the buyer. It's yours. Here's the authority. It's under the seal. And so that became an expression. Signed, sealed, and delivered. It became an expression of that which has been finalized. The deal is done and it's yours. Could I say that the Spirit in your life is His seal? He is saying the deal is done. The deal is done. You are saved. You are going to make it. You are going to be victorious. Victorious. You have the seal of the Spirit. Amen. Did you know if you're saved this morning, you are signed, sealed, and delivered? Hallelujah. I want to return to this. That sign is not a mystical sign upon our bodies that shows up with special lighting. Neither is it a special buzz feeling like doodads up and down the backbone. Amen. That seal, that witness of the Spirit shows up like this. Every time you feel compelled to repent by the Holy Spirit, that's His seal. You know you're saved. Because you see, people of this world, they're caught up in doing wrong, feel no need to repent. But you as a believer, you just mess up a little bit, and all of a sudden, something's pricking your heart. You need to say you're sorry. You need to repent. Oh, thank God. Don't get upset at that feeling. That's the seal of the Spirit saying you really belong to Him. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? That desire to repent, that desire to get things right, that work of the Spirit says you belong to God. I tell you another thing, the seal of the Spirit is, amen, it's a time of doubt, but all of a sudden in the midst of the doubt and darkness, faith begins to well up in your heart. Amen. That's the seal of the Spirit. Amen. What is it? Amen. You come to church, you got problems, you got troubles by every reason. If you listen to the flesh or Satan or somebody else in the house, you would have stayed home, but you come to church under those less than fortunate situations, and all of a sudden you feel something in your heart. I want to praise Him. I want to worship Him. I want to glorify. That's the seal of the Spirit indicating you belong to Him. What is that seal? Amen. It's a compunction to love the unlovable. You ought to be upset at them. You ought to have something against them. But instead you feel a love in your heart for them. That is the seal of the Spirit saying that you are His. What is that seal? Amen. All of a sudden, even maybe at work, maybe on the way home, maybe at home, suddenly lots of things to do, lots of things on your mind, but all of a sudden you feel an urging to pray. I've got to talk to God. I've got to communicate with God. Amen. That's the seal of the Spirit saying you are His. What about it? What about it? Amen. It comes out like this. It's Sunday afternoon. Maybe the kids still got home. Homework. Maybe there's things you ought to get done. Amen. Maybe you slipped off in a little nap, but you wake up, and when you wake up, up. Oh, there's an impulse in your heart. I can't wait to get to church and see what God is going to do. That's the seal of the Holy Spirit. I don't understand all these years. Even I was preaching at that conference teaching, and one afternoon I'd studied a long time, just had a few minutes before church. I drifted off to sleep, and when I woke up, I'd already been in church 9 hours or 8 hours that day, something like that. Amen. But all of a sudden when I woke up, I felt something in my heart. Oh, I can't wait to get to church to sing and to hear the word. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't have that urging, you may not have the seal. But if you got the seal, there's something in you. I want to be with God's people. I want to sing the hymns. I want to worship Jesus. I want to help pray somebody through. Amen. That seal shows up with a surge of hope. If you talk to anyone, they would agree with you that your situation is hopeless. It is hopeless. Maybe you're reading the word. Maybe you're worshiping. But suddenly, there's a surge of hope. There is hope. There is hope. That's the seal of the Spirit. We could go on and on. An inexplicable joy. You ought to be down. You ought to be depressed. But instead, you just sang at Cal, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. And suddenly, springing up from within, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the seal of the Holy Spirit. I won't go on to others except to say one more thing. That drive, I want to make heaven my home. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. That's the seal of the Holy Spirit. In other religions, there's nothing like the Holy Spirit. In other religions, you're left on your own. In other religions, there's requirements of things to do, things to believe, but you're left on your own. You generate your own desire. You accomplish it however you can or try to accomplish it. But that's the difference. We have the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. He not only gives us a desire, He gives us an assurance and an ability that we will be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hallelujah. How many's glad you've been marked and sealed by the Holy? Oh, come on, church. I'm not speaking riddles. I'm speaking an experience that we have had. Amen. Now, he tells us something else about the Spirit, and I won't spend long on this, but he connects it, and I want to connect it. Not only is there the sealing, there is the sampling. Amen. The sampling. Amen. The sealing showed that we belong to God, but the sampling shows what belongs to us. Hallelujah. God's got a lot of things for His people. In fact, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for us. Not just when we get to heaven, but between here and heaven. I've done went down a side trail, but I'm going to fall a little while. Amen. We limit that scripture to heaven. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither then the things that God hath prepared. That's not talking. Read the context. That's not talking just about when we get to heaven. It's talking about between that day we got saved and we get to heaven. God's got things prepared for us. And the Holy Spirit is the proof that what God has for us belongs to us. As certainly as the promised land belonged to the Israelites, God's got things and promises that belong to us. Look in verse 14. It's the earnest of our inheritance. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a sampling. We're going to have to return to real estate or other types of financial dealings. But any adult here and others, young people, they know what an earnest is. It's part of the payment to ensure that the rest is coming. Isn't that what? Amen. You're buying that for $200,000. Amen. Help me out, realtors. Amen. The seller. Yeah. The seller. He needs assurance that he's going to get the rest of it, right? And I know this gets convoluted in all what's happening with God and Satan and us. But amen, we can just simplify it and say the earnest is a part of the payment that lets the person know that the rest is on its way. It's part of what is to come. It's part of what will be possessed. Amen. God purchased us, but He didn't just purchase us. He purchased for us. He purchased salvation for us. Eternal life in all of heaven. Did you know every time the Holy Spirit moves upon your spirit within your life, it's not only saying you belong to Him, it's saying salvation is yours. It says victory is yours. It says you're going to live on and on and on. When the Spirit moves, it says eternal life is yours. I'm telling you, when the Spirit moves upon your heart, it says heaven is yours. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. What an assurance. It's not just a sign that you belong to God. The moving of the Spirit is a sign of what belongs to you since you belong to God. Because you belong to God. We used to have a Holy Ghost service, and somebody coined the phrase of a Holy Ghost service, this is just a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. Remember that? Even this great move of the Spirit, it's just a little bit of heaven to go. Oh, they were right. When the Spirit gets to moving, that's just the earnest. That's just the sampling. God lets us feel the Holy Spirit that way to let us know that more is coming and more is coming and more is coming until we get to heaven and all of heaven will be ours. He is the earnest of the Holy Spirit. Oh, somebody shout glory. However long you and I have served Christ, however long far we've advanced along this road, we have only begun to receive what God has purchased for us through Jesus Christ. You see, I've been in some great services. We're on the eve of revival. You've only begun to experience what God has for His children. And every move of the Spirit is just an installment to let you know what is coming. I want, as the music comes, I want to serve just a little warning here. Please hear me across the building. When we quit sampling heaven through the moving of the Spirit, we'll quit desiring heaven. You ever wonder why people get off track, saved, excited, next thing you know they're back in the world? They quit experiencing or sampling heaven through the moving of the Spirit. Therefore, they quit desiring heaven and started desiring something else. We need to let the Spirit move on our hearts because it gives us a desire. Isn't it the way it's always? How many has ever been in a Holy Spirit service that when you left, when God truly moved upon your heart, when you left, you didn't have this desire to go all the way? Isn't that happen? When the Spirit moves, you have that desire to go all the way. It's because the Spirit is the earnest of all God has for us. And the truth of the matter is, we're not going to make it without Him. I want to share one more scripture because it's in Ephesians. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, here it is again. Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I don't have time to exposit this. Let me tell you, some folks have got this real wrong. And we are to be instructed about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But when they read this, they immediately think of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said will not be forgiven. And they think that Paul is saying, you know, don't grieve the Holy Spirit because then you're sealed off from God. You're locked off from God and you'll never be able to be forgiven. And that's not what Paul's saying here. That's a warning to be taken from other contexts. But what Paul is saying here, don't grieve the Holy Spirit because He's the one that's going to get you to heaven. He's the one that seals you. It's not that you're sealed off from salvation. You need the Holy Spirit to seal you off from this world and its influence and wrong thoughts and temptation. In other words, if you make it to heaven, you are going to need the Holy Spirit at work in your life. You're going to need His seal upon your life, His mark. We're going to need Him till we get there. When it happened, I thought it was so tremendous. George W. Bush, however many years ago that was, he was visiting in Chile. And there was kind of a misunderstanding between the Secret Service detail to protect him and that country's security forces. And you may remember seeing this because they kind of showed it over and over. But George W. Bush, with all the officials of that country and the Secret Service and a big crowd, had just entered into the door of a building, and they were going to a special meeting room. And suddenly there's a commotion because that country's security force decided that one of the Secret Service agents that was detailed to protect President Bush, that he wasn't coming in. And so they grabbed him and began to try to push him out the door. And if you'll remember, our president at the time, President Bush, he looked over his shoulder and saw what was happening and reached back over their security forces and his own Secret Service. He reached over the crowd and reached out and grabbed that Secret Service man and started pulling him towards me. And he looked at all around at them. He said, "He's with me." All of a sudden, nobody's arguing. Nobody's trying to push that Secret Service guy out the door. It was enough that the president said, "He's with me." And that Secret Service man went in with President Bush to that meeting. I want you to hear me. There are times the enemy will try to get a hold of us, pull us out of relationship with God, pull us out of church, pull us back into the world, push us out the door. Let me tell you what the seal of the Holy Spirit is. It's when God reaches out and says, "Wait a minute, let go. He's with me." I tell you, that's why we're going to get to heaven. We have the seal of the Holy. Things pull, things come against us. But God has put His mark. He's with me. He's coming in with me. Oh, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The psalmist realized, I've got to have the Spirit. And we do too. Would you stand and worship him across the building? Hallelujah. Would you worship him across the house? Are you sealed? Are you sealed? Are you marked? At some point in this message, I mentioned, and I believe it both on a biblical level and experiential level, that we're in a time of sifting. And just like those, that communist group or whatever it was that cleared out that church at gunpoint, with the pressures folks are going to face today, it's going to sift the body of Christ. Who's really His and who's not? With that in mind, my heart's cry is, oh, I want the seal of the Spirit on my life. I need some earnest this morning. I think we felt a little earnest this morning. We need to have some earnest tonight in the service. You need some earnest when you go to pray during the week. You'll get off track in a hurry. But I'm telling you, if you'll put your trust in God when things get the roughest, He's with me. He's mine. You don't tamper with Him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Won't you smile at your enemy right now and say, I'm tamper-proof. That's not bravado. That's the Word. I'm sealed with the Spirit. Do you have your doubts? Yes, sir. But you have those moments, if you're sealed, when the Spirit touches you and suddenly there's no doubt. You've been doubting, you've been fighting, you've been wrestling. You're on the way to work. Maybe you turn the religious radio on. And suddenly you hear Him singing, He touched me. He touched me. Oh, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit moves in your heart. The doubts are gone. Why? I'm sealed. I'm sealed. Anybody here sealed? We're not preaching elitism. This is a work of God. This is a work of grace. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone, you know, I've been talking about this and I'll end here. But anyone, do you feel that in your heart? That's the seal. That feeling, I want to pray. I want to pray. Maybe, and not everyone will feel this, but maybe you're here saying, I want to repent. I want to, or maybe someone will say, oh, I want to love where I've not been showing love. Amen. Or somebody says, oh, I've been being pulled. And now I don't want to be pulled. I want to be free from that. That's the seal at work in your life. And don't get upset at that. That just proves you're God's. But if you feel that seal at work in any way to pray, I want to invite you to come. Amen. People of God, the seal's at work in your life. I want to invite you to come and pray. Amen. Would you do that? And as you're coming, say, I need a little earnest, God. God, if you could, give me a little earnest of your spirit. Amen. Give me a little installment. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you fill these altars and say, Spirit of God, have your way in my life. Spirit of God, move upon my mind. Spirit of God, move upon my heart. Spirit of God, move in my motives. Spirit of God, move in my attitude. Spirit of God, move in my battle. Oh, come on, let's just pray. Amen. Let's seek Him around this place. Let the seal of God, amen, be alive in you. Let the earnest of the Spirit come forth in your heart. Do you feel that impulse to pray? Pray. Amen. You say, I feel pretty hopeless. Well, pray a little bit. You'll feel a surge of hope, a help, the seal of the Holy Spirit. Are you His? Have you been sealed? Are you marked as God's? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.